I'm Pavan Bhargava. I'm an assistant professor of neurology at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. I'm a neuroimmunologist and care for patients with multiple sclerosis. On this podcast, I will be talking about my session at the ACTRIMS 2019 meeting, giving a synopsis of my talk and discussing some further developments. My talk at ACTRIMS was about the use of metabolomic profiling in MS patients. So to begin with, I'll explain a little bit about metabolomics. So like several of the other omics technologies that you hear about, it refers to measuring quantities of things in various biological fluids or tissues. And in this case, we're measuring small molecules, so the levels of metabolites, either in blood, spinal fluid, or it could be even tissue from either patients or from animal models. In the session, I talked briefly about what research has been done so far about using metabolomics in MS, and we also discussed how this might be applied in future studies and what are the gaps in research currently in using this technique in MS patients. Metabolomics is an interesting approach because the metabolites that are generated and measured in body fluids are derived both from metabolism of the body as well as metabolism of your gut bacteria and also depend on environmental exposures such as diet. So measuring metabolites gives you insight not just into the functioning of a person's body but also into changes in their gut bacteria, into the gut microbiome, as well as environmental exposures. And these are of interest, especially in MS, because several studies have now shown that there is a gut dysbiosis, so an alteration in the makeup of gut bacteria that in MS patients. And we know very well that several different environmental exposures can play a role in predisposing to the risk for MS and also modify the course of MS disease. In the session, I talked about previous studies that had looked at levels of metabolites either in the spinal fluid or in blood in patients with MS, comparing them to healthy controls or to other neurological diseases. And what most of these studies have shown is that patients with MS have changes mainly in energy metabolism. So primarily changes in glucose metabolism, metabolism of amino acids, as well as lipids. And more recently, studies from our group have also shown changes in xenobiotic metabolism. So metabolism of substances that are not naturally produced in the human body. So for example, we saw changes in xanthine metabolism. So that includes things like caffeine. And this is of interest because multiple studies have now shown that caffeine intake might be related to the risk for MS and perhaps also disease activity. I also talked about a recent study looking at metabolism in pediatric MS, which showed that tryptophan metabolism, so tryptophan is an aromatic amino acid, and the metabolism of tryptophan was abnormal in pediatric MS patients compared to matched controls. And there, the levels of both tryptophan as well as metabolites of tryptophan that are generated by gut bacteria were lower in MS patients, and their levels also appeared to predict the risk for relapse as well as severity of the disease. I also discussed some recent studies that we have done looking at using metabolomics to monitor various therapeutic interventions. So one of our studies looked at utilizing metabolomics to determine whether MS patients and healthy people respond similarly to vitamin D. And what we found in this study was that while in healthy controls, we saw a decrease in metabolites related to oxidative stress, we did not see a similar change in MS patients, suggesting that perhaps MS patients respond differently to vitamin D treatment or do not derive the same benefits that might be derived by healthy people. In another study where we used metabolomics in MS patients who were going on dimethyl fumarate treatment or Tecfidera treatment, we saw that 6 months of treatment changed the levels of several different lipid metabolites. In this study specifically, we saw a decrease in levels of circulating fatty acids. And what was really interesting to us was that the change in fatty acid levels correlated really strongly with the drop in lymphocyte counts. Now, we know that one of the main side effects with Tecfidera is lymphopenia or, decrease in lymphocyte counts, and this predisposes patients to serious side effects, including infections like PML. And so it was really interesting for us to see that perhaps there are changes in the metabolome that might correlate with these immunological changes and perhaps might help predict who is going to develop these side effects. And the last bit of new information that I presented, which is unpublished currently, was that in MS patients, we saw changes in bile acid metabolism. And I talked about this in more detail at ECTRIMS, where we first presented these results. But what was really interesting is that we saw lower levels of several bile acid molecules in the blood of specifically progressive MS patients, but in another cohort also saw similar findings even in pediatric MS patients. And then in animal models, we were able to show that actually giving more of or supplementing with a bile acid, we could decrease the severity of an animal model of MS. So at this point, I think we're still trying to understand where the abnormalities in the metabolome that we are detecting come from. So, these could be arising from either problems with metabolism or endogenous metabolism of MS patients, or could be reflections of normal metabolism in the gut bacteria, or perhaps it reflects changes in certain environmental exposures. So, for example, changes in diet that MS patients might implement when they are diagnosed with this disease. So I think the biggest question right now is, what is driving these abnormalities? And I think, we need future studies where we combine different kinds of data. So data regarding environmental exposures and diet, measurements of metabolites in the blood or spinal fluid, and also data regarding sequencing of the genome of the gut bacteria, what bacteria there are and what their function is, so what their metabolism might be like. All the studies that have been done so far show clearly that there are metabolic changes that we see in MS patients. I think it's still an open question of whether these are a cause or result of the disease. And I think we're beginning to identify pathways that may in the future be avenues for actually intervening or treating the disease. So I think future studies will tell us how useful metabolomic profiling will be in both identifying MS, perhaps predicting how certain patients might respond to specific therapies or do in terms of the prognosis of their disease, but also perhaps in identifying subsets of patients who might respond to a therapy that targets a metabolic pathway. Thank you for listening to this podcast today. For additional information, please click the links below.